The sermon this evening comes from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." There was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for answering our questions. As we forget about you, as we forget about who you are and what you have done, you are faithful to speak to us in your word and to call us back to yourself. Bless us now. Open our hearts, open our minds, that we will remember you and that we will rejoice in who you are and in what you have done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My wife often has to say to me, remember, but it occurs to me, and it has occurred to me, that she's not just saying remember, and more precisely what she means is unforget. Unforget what I have already told you. Unforget what you have already known. Unforget. It's not simply remembering or keeping it in mind. It's that I have already lost it to some degree. We look at the scripture, and the scripture describes that all mankind already knows God and is without excuse. That we see these things and we know these things, and somewhere deep in our mind, when we look in Romans chapter 1, everyone is suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Everyone can look at the sky and say, God is righteous. God is powerful. God is true. God is judge. But on purpose, we forget. In our own lives and our own courses in this life, even as believers, we are constantly forgetting. We're constantly even pushing back the truth of the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ in all of creation. We're actively forgetting. We look at the scripture and it's described that even the Son is speaking to us. Even the Son is proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. My children, I indoctrinated them deeply. I tried really, really hard to teach them about God. I tried really, really hard to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy with what God has done. And there was a time when I would enjoy when I would come to seminary and I could tell them the stories there, tell my friends the stories of my children. One of the times when we were driving along, Amos was crying in the back seat. This isn't recent. Amos was crying in the back seat and he's carrying on. He was in one of those little strappy chairs where he couldn't get out. He couldn't look away. And I said, Nate, what's going on back there? Why is Amos so worked up? Why is he crying? And Nate responded, because God keeps shining the sun in his eyes. When I told my friend in seminary that, he said, your kids are theocentric. This idea of the theos, the idea of God, the idea of centric. God-centered, theocentric, this idea that everywhere, every when, God is actively working. As we look at the sunshine, as we look at the earth around us, I once told a little boy that I was going to try to memorize a scripture for everything that we could see. And it was going to be a year before I would see him. And I invited him to challenge me the following year to point things out. But my big scheme was just to work on Genesis chapter 1. Anything that he could point out, I could turn there. And even if I couldn't come up with something specific, I could just say, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is a fallback for us. All of us are in the place to be actively unforgetting. To be theocentric, to be God and Jesus Christ centered, as he has created everything. So the call for you this evening is to love Jesus Christ as you take in all of his creation. Our first step is to remember God's ownership. And this is also could be stated to remember Christ's ownership. Genesis 1:1, the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We sang Psalm 24:1, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. How much does it matter that he owns the ground where you stand? How much does it matter that he owns you? How much does it matter that he owns your neighbors and your interaction with them? How much does it matter that he owns your children, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, that he owns all things? Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all of their hosts. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And we see that Jesus is referenced as the word of God, this speaking forth in John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That means that you and I should be able to look and just pick one square out of the sky and say, I can see that and I can think of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he made that. That I can look at this world all around me. I can look at these trees, things that I could never do. Things that I could never make, things that I could never create. We can look at one another and say, God has created each one of us in his image, and we can marvel at the Lord Jesus Christ. There is never a place where any of us will ever, ever be that the fingerprint of Christ is not present. He has made it all to draw us to himself, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our next step, number two, is to see light as a gift to us. Maybe some of us have seen absolute darkness. Maybe some of us have seen true dark. There was a time where I was spelunking and we went deep down, and I think we were a couple of miles down into the earth, and someone wanted to bring this picture to us, or this anti-picture to us, of what true dark was. And they said, shut off all your lights. Shut them all off. And the weight of the darkness was amazing. And in each of us, this anxiety started to build up. What is it to be in darkness? What is it to be with no light? Well, here we have a light shining on us that is warmth. A light shining on us that keeps us alive. A light shining on us that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. As we live in the light in these days, think of Jesus Christ and think of the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. His countenance is his emotion, his feeling, his relationship with you. Him lift up his face on you in the Lord Jesus Christ and give you peace is the blessing that we are given. As Jesus Christ shines on us, we were those who had dwelt in darkness. But God transitioned us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The light shines and God speaks and cares for us. We looked in the Psalms this morning in Psalm 30. The statement is given, weeping may last for the night. We've all known that heavy place and that sorrow at night when the day's been too much. When the burdens of the world have been too much. When our own sins have been too much. the sins of others have been too much. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. In John 8:12, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it or overcome it. Our next step is to see God's majesty in the sky. What was going on in creation? Apparently, Earth was this mess that God was working with. It was this mud in this cloud, and it was this ooze. Well, then God works, and we see verses 6 through 8. Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse the heavens. And there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. We see the sloppy mud that was present, the mingling of shadow and light. And God makes this separation, and then we look and see what God is creating. Again, Psalm 19:1, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of His hands. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they were without excuse. Unforget. Look at the sky. For real. I'm not kidding. Right now. Look at the sky and unforget. See that God has made this separation. He has made it as this demonstration of His power and of His might and of His authority. And He speaks to us day by day. The creation pours forth speech. And we are to never forget. And each day we have to say to ourselves, unforget. Unforget the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a day that we are separated from this? Is there a day that we are not in His light? Is there a day that we don't enjoy His warmth? Is there even a moment? None of us here or anywhere, as far as I know, have experienced absolute zero temperature. We live in the warmth of God day by day as He speaks to us and cares for us. And again, Psalm 56, the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Now, we talk about Psalm 19 being this general revelation, that God shows it to everybody in general revelation as opposed to special revelation. God speaking and revealing Himself in His Word and by His Holy Spirit. We had this beautiful example of special revelation when I was in seminary. We had this cook at the seminary, and she went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. She was off the deep end. She was practicing witchcraft. Her identity was in being gothic, so she had the white makeup and the black lips and the black fingernails as she would go to school. And one day, as she was going to school at the Art Institute, there were these crazy Christians outside with their signboards on, saying, "Repent, Jesus is coming." And she walks past these people and walks in, and her fellow students are there, and her fellow students start making fun of these people. But there was something that had pierced her heart. And she said, "No, guys, it's not funny." And they all looked at her and said, "What do you mean?" She said, "It's true. There's a God, and Jesus is His Son. I don't know how I know, but I know. It's true." God had changed her heart with this little message, with this little picture, and she literally went home and burned all of her witchcraft stuff. God speaks, and He changes, and He works people. And how much more so us, who already have the Holy Spirit, can we look at what He has done and look at what He has said to unforget, to remember that it's true. The heavens are declaring His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Our next step, number four, is love your foundations. Genesis 9, 1 and 10. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and gathered the water, and the gathered waters He called seas, and God saw that it was good. We get this picture again that it was this sloppy, muddy mess. And God starts drawing the moisture out of the mud. He pulls it together into the seas and into the lakes. He separates it and He gives us this firm place on which we stand. Those of us who have been deep in sin, we know that the sadness and the burden and the destruction that is present. Psalm 40 describes our rescue like this. "He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm." Being brought out of the mud and being brought out of the mire, being given a firm place to stand. Those of us who remember how terrible it was are very thankful for a rock on which to stand, to be able to stand on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a terrifying aspect of imagining sinking into the mud. It's this nightmare and this foolish and this scary thing. I had gotten this little camera that's waterproof, and we took it up to Lake Erie. And my daughter, Elia, she took it and she went to the edge of the beach and she brought it just to the surface of the water. And as the waves came in and they're lapping up against it, and you see underneath and you're hearing these bubbles, and even a piece of seaweed came along and stuck to it at one point. We played it on a TV in the hotel room, and I'm looking at it and it's right here. And I start getting filled with this anxiety as I'm looking at this splashing over me, the sound of the bubbles and the seaweed come across. And I'm thinking of Jonah at that point. The seaweed's wrapped around my head and I'm going down to the depths of the sea. It's a scary, dreadful thing. Maybe some of you, like me, I had a cousin post online. He said, "Did anyone else think that quicksand was going to be a bigger problem in life than it turned out to be?" We would see quicksand on TV and it was this scary, terrifying thing. One of my cousins, we would go and I saw he grabbed a little pocket knife and he grabbed some rope when we were going to go hiking when we were little. And I asked, "What's that for?" He said, "Quicksand." "So what do you mean quicksand?" He said, "We fall in some quicksand. I take my knife, I open it, wrap the rope around it, throw it in the ground, and I pull us out. We're good." Quicksand. Quicksand. It's a scary concept. I haven't had a problem with it in real life. But how thankful are we for that firm place to stand, the Lord Jesus Christ? Declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no righteousness in Him. No unrighteousness in Him. Our fifth step. And this applies to all of us. Well, of course, all of it does. But our fifth step is love God while you eat. This especially applies to my son, Nate. Love God while you eat. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. God saw that it was good, and God gave this all to us to eat. And as I look around, I think you all eat. I think many of us eat a lot. I think many of us enjoy it quite a bit. Even this food that we are partaking of is to give us a joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we pray and we give thanks. We thank Him for the bounty that He has given us. Psalm 104:27, "They all wait for You to give them food in due season. You give them food. They gather it up. You open Your hand and they are satisfied." There's this great place in which we live where we are given everything that we need, and it's all from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all from the Lord Jesus Christ. He blesses us and cares for us. In John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." Even our daily bread is to remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of heaven and earth, the one who rescues us. Our next step, number 6, love God when you see the birds fly. I don't know if that's a special thing for you. It's a really special thing for me. I can think of my whole life, my grandmother, after my grandfather passed away, my uncle put in this double wide along the woods for her. He put in a deck for her, and at her dining room table, she would sit with a sliding glass door, and there was this deck, and she had all of these bird feeders hanging outside. And her joy and her delight was to sit and to watch her birds. And she had this book where she would write down in a diary what kind of bird she saw each day. She took a special delight in it. My great aunt Helen Ann, she had these barn swallows that lived around her house. And I remember sitting and marveling at the ways that they were able to fly and flit through the air and move so quickly. They were a special delight. When I was a child, there weren't many hawks around. And we would see a red-tailed hawk, we would rejoice, "Look, a hawk!" And we would delight in seeing a red-tailed hawk. And now days have come, even around here, where we can look. And every now and then, we spot one of those bald eagles. And we marvel at these bald eagles, these things that God has made. And even the author of the Proverbs, he says, "Wow, there's some things I don't understand. There's 3 things, even 4, that are too great for me, and one of them is an eagle soaring through the sky." We look and we see the beauty of creation. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the expanse of the heavens." If the birds aren't your thing, whatever your favorite animal is, you can look and think, God has designed that. He has made that. Isn't he marvelous? And our 7th step is rely on God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them." This tells each of us, even each of us who may be orphans at this point, you have a father. You have a father who's so interested in you and so concerned about you that he made you in his image. When Brother Casey and I, when we have the opportunity to minister together, we go and we're dealing with these people who have been stuck in a situation. And he always warns them. He says to them, "At this point, you may think of yourself as less than human because you're being treated that way. People tell you when you can go to bed. People tell you when you get up. People tell you when you're going to eat. People tell you what you're going to eat. And you may see yourself like that, degraded." Well, there's this beautiful reality that every human being is created in the image of God. This is your value. How do we decide what something is worth? Well, the only way I say to decide what something is worth is what someone's willing to pay for it. You try to sell something and you think it has great value. If nobody wants it and nobody's willing to pay for it, you get nothing for it. So what are you worth? What are the sons and daughters of God worth? God the Father says, "You are worth the lifeblood of his Son." Jesus Christ says, "You are worth the lifeblood of his son. Jesus Christ says, you are worth laying my life down for. And we look at all that he has done and we marvel at his majesty, his power, and his authority. What he says has to be true. What he does has to demonstrate what is true. And it says, you have been so loved. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. And if you will trust in him, you are rescued. We see that mankind did not continue in this state of peace with God. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:17, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So as we are image of God and we have been loved, and as Jesus laid his life down for us, we're put in this place of true love. True love for the Father, and what flows from that is a love for one another. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Have this attitude in yourselves, Philippians 2:5-7 says. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, this great author of life and all that we see and have, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. You're so loved. Living in the world that Jesus Christ has made. Unforget. Unforget who he is. Unforget his majesty. Unforget his authority. Unforget his love. Live in the light of his love, in the light of his majesty, in the light of his authority. Truly live in him. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for your power and your love and your grace. We thank you for having made this world, heaven and earth. We thank you for having made us. We thank you for having spoken to us in both your creation and in your word, and by your Holy Spirit, help us to be those people who unforget, who walk through this world loving you and proclaiming you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.